It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. In early January of each year, we talk about the year in sports in the previous year, and we're going to talk about the year in sports in 2020 on the Coaches Show today. First of all, joining us is Learfield's Missouri Net Sports Director, Bill Pollack. First half hour with Bill, we'll take a look at state sports stories, national sports stories. Second half hour, Jefferson City News Tribune sports editor Tom Rackers joins us, and we'll talk about area and local sports in 2020. First of all, good morning, Bill.
Yeah, good morning, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. All right, 2020, first of all, we're going to talk about from the standpoint, obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic. How did that affect, or did it affect, how you do your job?
Yeah, it did. I mean, there was a lot of uncertainty. Because you think, okay, sports is coming to an end. What do we talk about? There was a few nervous moments there. And, you know, but it turned out we were busy. Mm-hmm. Because you went from reaction, you got coaches' reaction, you got players' reaction, seasons that were canceled. And then you went into, okay, how do we restart sports? NBA going into a bubble, NHL going into a bubble, and of course, you know, the St. Louis Blues were coming off a season where they had won a Stanley Cup, so there was a lot of interest there. And then it was like, okay, do we get into the summer? Do we play baseball? What does that look like? And then once the game started, it was a whole new, excuse the pun, but a whole new ball game. But I think what we learned, though, too, is in this pandemic, you don't necessarily need to be at events with Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You're connected to everyone. While there were some struggles, in a lot of ways, it really made our job easier and more convenient. I've been working from home. I created a home studio.
Mm-hmm.
I get up early in the mornings. If I've got a busy morning, I can just roll out of bed in my pajamas and get started. I don't have to, take a shower and get dressed and get into work, and spend 20, 30 minutes extra just to get into work. So if something needs to happen right away, I'm there. Listen, I'll give you a perfect example about how COVID has kind of changed the way we think of things. I had to run to Kansas City to meet my daughter, who's a college student out there. And while I'm there, I get news on my phone that Mizzou is canceling their game tomorrow with LSU.
Right.
A couple of years ago, I'd be like, I can't make it back to record my afternoon sportscast for Missouri Net. But because of our computer technology and the way that we're kind of thinking, I was able to go to her boyfriend's computer, get set up, and get my reports done. So in a lot of ways, it's helped us, and I think it'll make us better moving forward.
Do you think some of these things will be permanent?
I think they could, yeah. Just as far as Zoom goes, especially you take the University of Missouri, for example, as reporters, we can hammer on student athletes, and sometimes we forget the human part, and you focus on the games and the bad games they had. And, you could take those players and put them in Zoom and get the cameras and the microphones shoved in their face and get that away from them and get that pressure off of them. They could sit in front of their laptop and answer questions. And when someone asks a question, it's one-on-one. You're looking at that person asking you the question. It's not a bunch of lights and cameras and microphones shoved in your face. I could see that as a big benefit to college athletes, even pro athletes, too. I could see some of these things sticking around.
And, of course, it is different from the standpoint you're so used to sitting down and interviewing someone and them being about 2-3 feet apart from you as you do the interview. And, of course, that doesn't happen when you have these types of things.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the one thing that that would hurt is you don't get to build that bond with players. When you see them face-to-face and you talk to them, there's the gaggle of reporters that are around. But when that kind of breaks up, sometimes you go to a guy and say, hey, let me talk to you about something. And you kind of build that trust, and there is that one-on-one personal connection. So I still think that we need some of that as well. I mean, just for human contact, I think we need that. Mm-hmm. You know, the quicker we can get out of that, and the more that we can be face-to-face with people and not looking at them on a screen, I think it's just better for society. So I think there's instances where you can use Zoom, but still that person-to-person contact, we all need that as human beings.
All right, sports stories in 2020. First off, the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And, you know, there were so many times, even Andy Reid, when he was with Philadelphia and with Kansas City, you saw that they had good teams and they would get to the playoffs and things just wouldn't work out. I remember that first game and they're down 24-0 in the playoffs and Tyreek Hill is fumbling, they're out of whack, they're giving up points. And I remember watching a lot of people on social media, and they're all, you know, they're losing it. And who wouldn't as a Chiefs fan? You've seen it before, and it's like, how all of a sudden are we this bad? And there was a play where Tennessee elected to go for it and didn't take points on a field goal. And I thought, you know what, that's a mistake. And I was like, there's a long way to go in this game. There's three quarters left in this game. That's a lot of time. Look, I got to be honest, I didn't think the Chiefs would win. I thought that they could get into the game. Mm-hmm. But not only the way that they won, and from that point on, when you watch the rest of the playoffs, it's like, okay, yeah, they fell behind. Yeah, listen, with Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, yeah, they're going to, you kind of get used to it. And it was an amazing run. And they've shown it again this year that it doesn't matter how long you hold them down or how much pressure you put on them. Mahomes has found a way to get the ball to his guys, and they make things happen. So it was an amazing run for the Chiefs, and it was really, you know, probably the last big sporting event that we had before the pandemic.
Right.
So at least people here in Missouri were left with a good memory in 2020.
Yeah, you know, win over the 49ers to capture the Super Bowl, and you take a look at, like you mentioned in the other comment just a few moments ago against Tennessee, you take a look at that game, and they're down against the San Francisco 49ers. It's late. I remember looking at and watching the game, thinking to myself, if they don't score in the game, over. Well, they did, and then the immediate thought comes to your mind, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And, you know, football, I mean, it's so, the margin for error is so small, and you have to play really solid football to win, and any team can beat any team in any given week, and that's even saying the Jets. You know what I mean? That's, as bad as they are, and the Jaguars, I mean, you can still, those games are not all that bad. But to me, I think there's something where when you're playing the Chiefs, at least at this point, and it's a close game, you've got that in the back of your mind that, man, they can still beat us. And there's not many teams and not many quarterbacks that have been able to do that over history. You know, you can probably pick a handful of quarterbacks, Brady, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, certainly for, you know, football fans now. Patrick Mahomes is moving into that category where nothing feels safe. And if you can come back from 24 points and win, that's in the back of every team's mind. And that you just start playing with a little pressure, and that's an advantage that the Chiefs have right now.
A lot of issues, obviously, as far as stories out of the NFL is concerned, but let's talk about two real quick, and we'll move on to another sport as well. Tom Brady leaves the New England Patriots and goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the NFL draft is done remotely this year.
Well, the NFL draft, I thought from a television production, was probably one of the most impressive things that you could put together, because they had 100 remote cameras, 100 different sites that they were all bringing together. From a television production standpoint, it was absolutely amazing that they were able to pull it off. And it came at a time when the hardcore sports fans were looking for something. And a lot of people get excited about the NFL draft. I watch the first 10 picks or so, mm-hmm. myself, and I kind of watch the goofy fans that they have, whether it's in, you know, Nashville or Philadelphia, and they all boo Goodell and all that. And it's really, you know, pretty entertaining television to watch just how goofy people can be for the first, you know, hour and a half. And then after that, I kind of shut it off. But for people that were clamoring for something, that are hardcore NFL fans or fans of the college game, to see where their favorite players are going to go, the job that they pulled off was just was absolutely incredible. And then what was the second?
Tom Brady leaving the New England
Patriots.
Tom Brady.
got all worked up on the NFL draft. Listen, I just had a conversation. I do a podcast, and if I can plug my Facebook page, it's a Bill Pollack Show. But I was just talking about this. Who should win the MVP? Should it be Aaron Rodgers of the Packers or Patrick Mahomes? And I wanted to ask people here in Missouri. And a lot of people, you know, were kind of saying, well, yeah, Mahomes had a good year, but man, just look at the stats. You know, the most, you know, touchdown passes, highest completion percentage, you've got to give it to Aaron Rodgers. And that seemed to be the prevailing point. Some people think Josh Allen of Buffalo, when you look at what they've done, the year that they've had. I could make a real argument for Tom Brady,
yes,
being the most valuable player again. And I know a lot of people listening, I say, I'm burned out on Brady. He had his time. But to me, MVP can be more than just stats. Players around Tom Brady get better. Before Brady went to Tampa Bay, they were 7-9, 5-11, 5-11. This year, they're 11-5. Brady and the Patriots had double-digit wins in 18 of his 19 years as a starter. He leaves. This year, they go 7-9. So not only did the Patriots not win the division, they finished in third place. Brady has never finished in third place. Three times he's finished in second place in the division in his career. So when you look at that and you think, oh, what's Brady doing? Just hang it up. Leave. You had your time in the Patriots. Look, he made the Buccaneers into a playoff team. That's an MVP performance, in my opinion. I could make that argument. Now, Aaron Rodgers, if you go strictly off of stats, probably deserves it. But they had a good team last year. So they kind of just, you know, took what they were doing well and made it a little bit better. But when you look at Brady and an MVP and what he means to a franchise, you have to give him consideration.
I want to talk about the city of Los Angeles in terms of emotions. Obviously, the Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series, Los Angeles Lakers win the NBA, and then the tragic helicopter crash that took the life of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others.
Yeah, you know, the Kobe Bryant moment, I think, will... regardless of what you thought of him, you looked back on his dad, but you know he was a father to three daughters, and obviously spending time with his daughter, and it's one of those moments that you'll know where you were. And I remember I was watching TV, and my son texted me, and you know, my wife and I, we both got the text at the same time, and our jaws just dropped. You know, when you know a celebrity figure like that, when you know a sports figure like that, and a guy who was doing so much and really kind of turned his life around from when he was, you know, a young guy in the league to stepping up and being a leader and being a husband and a father, it was just a really shocking story. And you know, like I said, you'll never forget where you were when you heard it. I'll go to the Dodgers. I don't know if fitting is the right word, that at least the Dodgers won and then we lose Tommy Lasorda just
right
a couple days ago. You know, the thing that I'll say about baseball, and for the Dodgers, listen, they felt like they were cheated out of the Houston Astros. So, you know, I always joke that the baseball gods have a way of evening things out. And as much as we were upset about, you know, the Houston Astros, you know, the Dodgers got their, you know, they got their time. But in terms of baseball, television ratings were some of the lowest for Major League Baseball. And I thought they were the worst prepared league for the pandemic. You had the owners and the players who squabbled over number of games that should be played. Do we have prorated salaries? I mean, we have billionaires and millionaires squabbling over how they should get paid and how they're going to make money. And I understand it's a business,
mm-hmm,
but they couldn't keep it in-house. And you've got fans who may have been clamoring for baseball, some type of normalcy, people that are worried about their jobs, worried about their lives. This could have been a nice distraction for them. And I think baseball kind of owes that to its fans. In fact, Tommy Lasorda said during his Hall of Fame induction speech in 1997, I think it was 97, so this game is not about the owners and their boxes and that and making money. It's not about the players. It's about the fans. And Lasorda got it, because without the fans, you don't have anything. And this was an opportunity for baseball, especially with kids at home, you know, finishing up the school year. They could have had games on in the afternoon. I mean, baseball missed an opportunity to really market themselves and be a hero, and they looked greedy, and it suffered. Their television ratings were horrible. The way that they presented the games with the fake crowd noise or that white noise that you heard in the background, you know, the cutouts, it was, you know, just really kind of gimmicky. And I, as a huge baseball fan, baseball being my number one sport, I was disappointed with the way Major League Baseball handled themselves this season. And apparently I wasn't the only one, because it showed. Fans were kind of turned off by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Lakers, listen, I thought what the NHL and the NBA did with, you know, playing in the bubble,
yep.
Yeah, that was outstanding. You know, that's a tough situation for the NBA. They got beat up. You know, if you listened to right wing media, they were beat up for taking social stances. But you look at the league. I mean, there's so many different issues, and that's a fine line to walk. And you have players that are using their celebrity, and obviously LeBron James at the top of that list, using their celebrity and their notoriety to bring issues to the forefront. Whether you agree with them or not, it's at least refreshing to see in this country that people are taking a stand. And again, you don't have to agree with them, and maybe you do agree with them, but you know, I think that's the true fabric of our country. Now, what I find ironic about all of this is that I'm watching a game on ESPN, and they have Black Lives Matter painted on the floor, and they're using their format, and players are wearing Philadelphia 76ers uniforms, a team that's honored for the founding fathers of our country, while at the same time they're pulling statues down of George Washington in Portland. And they want to pull down all these statues. So it's, you know, a little bit of hypocrisy there. It's just, it's fascinating to watch from a distance. I don't get involved too much with the political stuff, but it's been a fascinating year for sports and culture and society.
When we come back, we want to get your thoughts on the first year of Coach Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri with the Tiger football team, and want to get your quick thought on what you thought was the number one sports story in 2020. Back with more after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
If you've been thinking about a metal building but need help in planning, Lone Oak Buildings is here to help. Whether it's a barn, storage, garage, shop, or even a house, Lone Oak Buildings are designed to last. Their skilled craftsmen, proven process, and quality components will deliver a beautiful custom building that will stand strong for generations. All shapes, sizes, and designs. Their experienced professionals will work with you from start to finish. Go to LoneOakBuildings.com or find them on Facebook. Quality buildings for every need.
It's wintertime, and that means it's the holidays. So Air Service having a holiday savings extravaganza for those who want to stop overpaying the utility companies. At Air Serve, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. So right now, you can take advantage of instant cash discounts up to $1,000 or 0% financing options on all furnaces and systems sold through January 2021. Plus, we're extending our free filtration upgrade as well.
Comfortable.
Go to airserve.com to schedule your appointment today.
We'll put you in your comfort zone.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
We continue our discussion with Missouri Net Sports Director Bill Pollack. We're talking about top stories in sports in 2020. And as you know in radio, when you hear the music, you only have 30 seconds left to go to the bottom of the hour. We have to break for news. So you got that, right, Bill?
I got it. I'll hit it.
All right, let's talk about Missouri Tiger football.
Yeah, 5-5, pretty good year. I mean, they got you know, snubbed out of the bowl game because of, you know, COVID-related issues. But what a first year for Eli Drinkwitz. Not just the fact that they went 5-5. I think a lot of people looked at their schedule, thought they might win two or three games.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he comes in, and every coach says the same thing. Hey, we're going to, you know, focus on recruiting. We're going to keep kids in state. You know, we're going to be exciting to watch. They certainly were exciting to watch. From a recruiting standpoint, he is keeping the St. Louis kids here. Yeah, a lot of upside to what Eli Drinkwitz has done. And then I think any head coach of a college football team that got their team from, well, spring practices being canceled through getting these kids through into August, fall camp, into the start of a season and finish it, it's remarkable what those guys were able to do. And as a first-year coach, to have the success that he had with everything that was thrown at college football this year, it was an incredible first year for Eli Drinkwitz.
And the Missouri Tiger basketball team in the top 25 heading into 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they finally, you know, we keep hearing, you know, hey, next year we're going to be a little more experienced. We're going to be a little more experienced. Well, now those guys are experienced, and Konzo Martin is a great leader of men, and he has them playing well, has them playing exciting. And, of course, we had the pause with LSU. Not sure what happens on the 12th with Vanderbilt or the 16th with A&M. We'll have to see. But, you know, I think that's going to be the case with basketball this year. You're going to have starts and stops just because of the situation we're in and kind of that second wave with the pandemic. So, listen, get through it, and let's try to get to March and try to have an NCAA tournament this year, because it looks like the Tigers will be one of those teams that will be dancing.
You know, and obviously we didn't get to all of the sports stories in 2020, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought was maybe the top sports story in 2020.
Well, I think just the fact that, you know, when this pandemic started, there were people who said, just shut everything down. Let's just shut everything down. We shouldn't be playing. We shouldn't be doing this. It's not safe. We don't know what we're encountering. You know, I really think through sports, the spirit of people really came through, because we found ways to get it done. Whether you isolated NBA and NHL players so that you could finish a season, whether you went through social distancing protocols and you changed kind of the way you did things on the field or on your bench. Obviously, having money and resources helps, but the job that the NFL did to get their season, games were postponed. No regular season games were missed. It's absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, as much as we want to beat up sports for being, you know, rich and entitled athletes and owners, and I mean, they really showed us that, you know, if you put your mind to stuff, you can get back to some normalcy. And I think that in a way, being able to accomplish sports in 2020, it's just kind of a symbolic way, hey, we can fight through anything. So as much as everything else politically and all those other things that were going on, you can always rely on sports, and we need it. We need sports. We need that competitive. We need that entertainment nature, and it's a part of our fabric. And I think for every sports league to be able to pull that off, just outstanding.
Bill, always appreciate your time. Had a great first half hour of the show, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks to you. Happy New Year. I didn't hear the music, so I guess we're still within time. So
she's ready with the button, just in case you weren't ready to go yet. Bill, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Missouri Net Sports Director Bill Pollack on the Coaches Show. Some sports figures that we lost in the year 2020. Baseball, Joe Morgan, Whitey Ford, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Tom Seaver, Al Kaline, and Don Larson. In football, Gale Sayers, Larry Wilson, Johnny Majors, and Don Shula. Basketball, Coach John Thompson, Casey Jones, Kobe Bryant, and Wes Unseld. Football, Woody Woodenhofer, Tom Dempsey, among those that we lost in 2020. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Events are fluid.
We will not be increasing our police budget.
Details are constantly changing. Check back at the top of the hour for the latest on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
MIDMO 1976. Homes are ravaged by roof problems inflicted by Sergeant Storm and his bad weather battalion. Meanwhile, at the Hodges Roofing Headquarters, Greg Hodges, a mild-mannered yet obsessive serial roofer, is the greatest hope of defeating Storm and his henchmen. For he will become the Gray Panther! Savior of the shingle, rescuer of the rafter, guardian of the gable, defender of the downspout, and builder of the best, most reliable roof systems the city has ever seen.
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. I wasn't always the Gray Panther. Of course, my hair wasn't always gray either. That explains the gray part. But the Panther part, well, maybe it's because I'm frequently spotted on roofs, prowling around for leaks, cracks, or anything else that compromises a perfect roof system. Maybe it's because when you see me on your roof, you know you're protected. When you need me, send me a signal at HodgesMo.com. Don't worry, I only bite bad guys.
Hodges Roofing, home of the Gray Panther. Keeping friends and family safe under higher quality roof systems since 1976.
Lose that weight. Stop smoking. Watch less Netflix. Everyone has a New Year's resolution, but at the Missouri Heart Center, a fresh start on a new healthy life is waiting for you. At the Missouri Heart Center, they want you to keep your New Year's resolution and start paying attention to the health of your heart. Isn't it time for a new you in the new year?
Missouri Heart Center. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City News Tribune sports editor Tom Rackers, who is joining us now. We're going to talk about local and area sports stories in the year 2020. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right. Before we talk about individual sports and teams and that type of thing, first of all, let's talk about COVID-19 and how did it impact you doing your job, and is it still impacting you doing your job, and what do you think will happen as you move forward with regards to that?
Well, let's start with the first one. I mean, obviously, once we got into March and they, you know, the first inkling was when, you know, the Final Four was kind of cut back and then eventually called off in basketball. And then you get to a couple of weeks later, and Misha calls off the spring sports. So then, you know, we're sitting there for, you know, two and a half months just kind of figuring out, you know, what we were going to do. I mean, Fortunately, there were still enough things going on that we were okay, but it was a time to kind of reassess and try to figure out what we were going to do. And then we got into summer where, you know, the school started with the summer camps, and there was summer baseball. And so then, you know, you kind of saw a little bit of a light that, yeah, things were at least going to try to attempt to be normal when we got back to fall sports. And then when fall sports started up, it was, well, how long are they going to go?
Right.
And we were kind of wondering, you know, if they get a month in, that's going to be great. Well, as it turns out, they got their seasons in. You know, some schools had them interrupted, but other ones got their entire season in. And now we're into winter sports, and you know, there are schools having to call stuff off because of COVID-19 concerns still. But, you know, I think we're going to get through this somehow.
And you mentioned it from the standpoint of schedule changes and things like that. And, you know, I think people maybe don't realize all the work that's involved as far as the activities directors at the high schools are concerned, not only in terms of scheduling, but preparing their facilities to be able to host a basketball game, host a wrestling event, and those types of things.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of the things, as soon as I get into the office, I check my work email and I just go, okay, what's the reschedule going to be today, you know,
right,
we're going to hear about? And you know, and then and they're trying to find enough games to so the kids have a full season. And that's just tough on its own, you know. And sometimes the cancellations happen the day of, you know. Yesterday, Elias had a game. The Lady Crusaders basketball team had a game called off at Union, and they were looking during the day. They were willing to go play anywhere just to get a game in. And now, you know, you talk about facilities. Well, and you've been through it too. You know, you have to wear a mask when you get in. You have to, you know, you get a temperature check at some places. It's
right.
They're trying their best to get this stuff done, which is, you know, to their everlasting credit. I think they're learning some things. You know. But I don't know that they ever want to go through this again.
All of the activities directors here in the area are doing a great job. I want to go to one person in particular because I think he's done an outstanding job of keeping us on a daily basis updated if there's changes, and that's Tom Gwynn over at Helios.
yeah, it's you know, he's the one that I've kind of looked for the emails for the most. And, you know, I talked to him the other day at wrestling, and he says this is, you know, he's just in what, his second year, and this is quite a way to get thrown into, you know, what you're going through. And he's learning a lot of lessons on the run. Right. And it's, you know, there won't be a season, a school year like this again, we hope. You know, but they're learning stuff, and he said, we're learning stuff this year that we hopefully can take into future years that are making things better, streamlining things like that. And I think they're learning lessons that are going to help them down the road.
A couple of things with regards, and again, we're going to jump into the individual sports and stuff, but obviously COVID-19 changed the locations for some state games. You take a look at football, and I think, again, I mentioned this a couple of months ago, but I want to reiterate my comment, and that's I thought Jefferson City, Hillias, and Blair Oaks did an outstanding job hosting the state football championship games here in the capital city, and I think the Missouri State High School Activities Association appreciated the effort here in Jefferson City to make those things happen.
Yeah, you know, we're very fortunate here that we have the facilities that allowed it to happen to begin with.
Right.
And you know, was it perfect? No, I mean, people are going to complain, you know, why in their seating on both sides, you know, but whatever. They got the important thing was they got a chance to play. It essentially located it allowed teams to come in, you know, to play for a state title. They were willing to step up and say, yeah, we're going to do this. We know it's going to be extra work, but we're willing to do this to make sure that these kids are getting the experiences that they deserve for getting through the year. And I think it did. I think it worked out great.
All right, let's take a look at the basketball season. First of all, the Blair Oaks Falcons to the Final Four set a school record for wins in a season. Everybody keeps talking about the half-court shot made by Quinn Cushion in the Eldon District Final against Father Tolton back in February. A great year for Eric Northweather and the Blair Oaks Falcons to the Final Four. Hillias to the Final Four as well. Unfortunately for them, after the state quarterfinal win against Webb City, the season came to an end, as you mentioned earlier. Great year for a number of players, including Marcus Anthony, and very good years for the Lady Jays and Lady Crusaders, and it was the first varsity basketball season for Capital City.
Yeah, it was a really good, successful basketball year for everybody around here. You know, you know, important. Capital City got their feet wet, got through a varsity season, you know, and, you know, just go look at the Hillias boys getting back to a Final Four. I mean, and we'll never know what would have happened down there. And, you know, that's kind of a shame and kind of the same, you know, disappointing, I think, a little bit for the Blair Oaks boys. You know, I think arguably the second best team in their class, you know, unfortunately, you know, got Cardinal Ritter in the semis. But, you know, it was a great year for them as well.
You make an interesting point, too, because we go back to the fact that Hillias didn't get an opportunity to play in the Show Me Showdown in the Final Four the following weekend. But the weekend that Blair Oaks played down in Springfield, they lost in the semifinals to Cardinal Ritter, and that was also the weekend that the Missouri State High School Activities Association did not hold third-place games.
Yeah, and honestly, you kind of wonder, does that say something for the future? Is it maybe, hey, we realize, you know, maybe we don't want to play these third place games. I don't know. Everybody's there staying over. I don't know. But I think that could be something that could be changed as well.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point because you take a look at it from the standpoint of college basketball as an example. For a long time, they had a third place game, and then they no longer have a third place game. And, you know, you talk to coaches, and there's a lot of different opinions. Everyone wants to have, you know, you get to the Final Four, you want to have an opportunity to go out with a win. Hopefully it's for a state title, but if not, third place game, and you end your basketball season with a victory. Others say, you know, it's awful difficult when you get so focused on playing in the state semifinal game that when you don't win that ball game, it's very tough for coaches and players to come back the very next day and play for third place. So I think that's kind of an issue that we may see more discussion on.
Yeah, I do too, because I don't want to speak for you. You've covered third place games. I've covered third place games. Sometimes they can just be dreadful, and you know I understand that you know you've got the facility, you've got the teams there, you've got the fans there. It's a chance for a gate, a chance to make a little more money, and another chance to play on what would be a big stage. But do you want to? Sometimes the effort I think is there, and the focus is probably a better way to put it.
And I think sometimes, too, when you take a look at the schedules, on it, I don't think it exists right now, but I think you go back a number of years ago, and when they were holding a number of state championships and third-place games in one facility at the Hearn Center, as an example, you were looking at a situation the third-place games were played early, and you might have a situation where a Class 1 or Class 2 state championship basketball games not being played until 9:30 at night, and it involves two teams that are maybe 3.5 hours from Columbia.
Yeah, you know, that again, I think that's another point that they may want to look at the third-place game and say, is it worth what we're having to output to be able to play the game? I think that is something that they probably need. And I don't know if they can do that this year necessarily, but I think in the future that's something to look forward to or look at.
In basketball, a number of coaching changes in the area after the basketball season, stepping down. Darren Heckman stepped down, replaced by Brandon Moore. At Helias, Garrett Wiggins, the new head basketball coach, replacing Alan Lepper. And in Jefferson City, Kay Foster replacing Brad Conway.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about things during the pandemic. Well, all that stuff kind of came down there in you know, the April and May. It was strange that everybody decided to step away at that point. But, you know, successful seasons, you know, time to do something else. And I think, you know, the programs now have got new leadership, and I think right now they're all doing really well.
All right, let's take a look at softball. Another very good year for the Blair Oaks Lady Falcons. Boy, what a great program Sharon Bush just has.
Yeah, you can just almost every year pencil them in, you know, to get to a Final Four. And it's just kind of like a machine out there. It just, you know, new faces, but they just keep winning, and it's a credit, you know, that it's not players, it's a program out there.
And I think people need to understand too, and I think they do, is that there's a lot of very good softball played in mid-Missouri.
Yeah, it's you know, to me, you know, top to bottom, it may be the deepest sport we have in the area with talented teams and talented players everywhere. I mean, you look at like Capital City, and just its second year of varsity wins 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's amazing,
right?
And for the you know, and the programs around here, they expect to win, and more often than not, they go out and do it.
And once again, taking a look at it from the standpoint of coaching, as far as softball is concerned, at Helias, Chris Wyrick stepped down as the head softball coach at Helias after the season. And you and I know Chris, and we've known him for a very long time. He does so many things as far as being involved with coaching at Helias in a number of sports.
Right. You know, coaching for him, you know, softball in the fall, then he's an assistant on the girls' basketball team, and then in the spring he leads baseball. I mean, for him, and you add in the stuff during the summer, I mean, it was it was 12 months for him.
Mm-hmm.
And a chance to take a step back at least in a little bit in the fall. You know, and now, you know, get a chance to watch his son play fall sports, and I understand it completely. I mean, I'm going to miss him because he's great to talk to, but, you know, Kelly, I think he's going to do a great job, and I think that program won't miss a beat.
Yeah, Kelly Fick is the new softball coach, and we've had him on a couple of weeks ago with regards to the program. So that's softball. Let's take a look at tennis. Jefferson City Lady Jays went 13-3 this year. Only losses to Columbia Rockbridge, and Rockbridge a power in tennis.
Yeah, that's another program that you know, unfortunately in the area, they kind of get, you know, in the shadow of Rockbridge, and it's going to be tough to get out of that. But just, you know, continue to develop, keep fighting and try to get the years that you're not necessarily going to face them in the postseason early and get a chance to make a deep run.
Tommy, you take a look at cross country over in Columbia, the state championships there, and it looked different than in the past as far as having the different events are concerned due to the pandemic. But another great year for the area. I think Calvary Lutheran capturing a team state title in cross country, and another great year for the Fatima cross country program.
Yeah, you know, all Fatima does is bring home state plaques from cross country out there, and you know, you talk about it, it's kind of like Blair Oaks. You know, it's just who's next. You know, who's going to come in and take over and help this team, you know, have more state success. And Calvary, you know, I'm pretty sure it was their first state title,
right?
And so, you know, big for them, and you know, kind of get them on the athletic map.
One other sport before we take our break, and that's wrestling. Wrestling was able to complete their season in 2020. It'll have a different look to it this year, though, won't it?
Yeah, the, you know, it's out of Columbia going to, you know, Independence, and it's going to be, you know, there's every class, and the girls are going to wrestle on one day, and then every class will have its own day. It's going to be a lot different. It's, you know, they're trying to keep the crowd down. You know, they're going to complete this in one day. They're limited. You know, it's going to be four wrestlers less in each weight class,
right?
Because they've got to get in. You know, they want to have it done in a day, and it, you know, it's going to be different. And you know, but again, if you want to get your season done, you know, this year at least, this is what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, state qualifiers for the wrestling tournament in Independence will go from 16 to 12 in each weight class. The sectional round is back in after being out for a number of years. The other thing with the state wrestling championships, it's, I think, the latest it's ever been. It's always been pretty much in mid-February, and this will go to mid-March.
Right, yeah. They pushed it back basically a month. And I can't remember the schedule necessarily off the top of my head, but it's like you have districts, and then you have a break, and then you have sectionals, and then you have another break, and then you get to state.
Right.
You know, part of it could very well be concerns about COVID. You're given, you know, a chance for, you know, teams that if they have to quarantine for whatever reason, they're going to get the chance to get through that and then have the chance to still advance to state, which I think is smart. But, again, by pushing the schedule back, you're kind of starting to mess with spring sports a little bit. But, again, you've got to do what you got to do to get the stuff in this year.
One quick question before we go to the break. We talked about wrestling moving from Columbia to Independence this year. Of course, the football was in Columbia. It moved to Jefferson City this year. Do you think that these are situations where they did that for just this year? Do you think there's a possibility that we may be seeing some state championships at different venues across the state as we move forward?
I would imagine that you know, we're talking football and wrestling. I imagine they will be back in Columbia next year, but I think the opportunity that these cities have seen to get out and know what it takes to host and the things that go along with that, I think that there might be more bidders in the future.
Yeah,
you know, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Jefferson City News Tribune sports editor Tom Rackers is our guest. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk about football, soccer, Lincoln University. Track and field season was canceled due to the pandemic. No football this fall for the Lincoln Blue Tigers as well. We're back with more after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Phoenix Programs is proud to serve veteran families in 23 Missouri counties through our Supportive Services for Veteran and Families program. If you are a veteran experiencing homelessness or at risk for homelessness, we are here to help. Please call 833-415-1707 and find help today. That's 833-415-1707. This announcement sponsored by Phoenix Programs.
He's the kind of guy who would tell you that you have broccoli in your teeth.
You have a little something right there.
He'll tell you if your new girlfriend is bad news.
Dude, she's bad news.
And he isn't going to let you walk out the door and embarrass yourself.
Psst, hey, barn door. Barn door. Barn door.
Thank you.
He's your friend Steve from Steve's Pest Control, the friend that is going to come to your house and fix your pest problem. Fix it, eradicate, eliminate, kill the pests. And when it's done, he'll give you a good old Missouri handshake and guarantee the job is done.
I'm Steve, your friend in the pest control business. When any of my crew from Steve's Pest Control come to solve your pest problem, the problem will be solved. I guarantee it.
When you find one bitey bed bug or a congregation of cockroaches, call your friend Steve at Steve's Pest Control. Online at stevespestcontrol.com.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
We overlook a lot in a lifetime. While some things seem small at first, it's the little things that make a big difference. Like Robert's Drugstore. They're just an old-fashioned local pharmacy. However, this drugstore has something even the big guys don't. Same-day contactless delivery. Also, get the benefits of free delivery and real relationships with the staff. Don't overlook the little things. Shop local and experience the Robert's difference. Home of Jefferson City Magazine's best pharmacist, Kim Roberts. Robert's Drugstore, RX.com.
Is this your office?
Christine called in sick again, Russ, and we won't have TPS reports done in time.
Did you know that fatigue, headaches, dry nose, throat, and skin, as well as congestion, coughing, sneezing, and flu-like symptoms could all be related to poor indoor air quality?
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. Let us customize a plan to improve your employee health and safety.
Comfortable.
Go to AirServe.com to schedule your appointment today. About those TPS reports.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
We continue our discussion with Jefferson City News Tribune sports editor Tom Rackers. I'm told we have 5 minutes left to go, so let's see how far and how fast we can go. All right, soccer, great year for the Jefferson City Jays.
Yeah, I think you can argue that that was the best soccer team we've ever seen in Jeff City. And, you know, records for wins, goals, shutouts. You know, and advanced to the semifinals, got to host a semifinal game. You know, that was a team that really, I think, enjoyed every game they got because they weren't sure how many they were going to get. And I think it paid off with a great year.
What a great season for football here in Jefferson City. In June, Terry Walker stepped down as the Jays head football coach, and the Jays hired Scott Bailey, a highly successful football coach down in Lamar. After one season, though, Coach Bailey resigned. So as we move to the first part of 2021, the Jays are continuing their search for a new football coach. First year for varsity football at Capital City. First ever meeting on the football field between Helias and Jefferson City. Also the first ever meeting between Helias and Capital City, Jefferson City and Capital City. Great year, as we mentioned, for the Blair Oaks Falcons and for the Helias Crusaders as they capture state titles. For the Crusaders, an undefeated season as they beat MICDS for the state title at Atkins Stadium in Class 4. The Falcons the following night defeat Maryville to capture the Class 3 state football title. Coaches of the Year, Ted LePage for the Blair Oaks Falcons, Chris Hinches for the Helias Crusaders. Offensive Players of the Year, both from the area. Jacob Weaver, the quarterback for the Helias Crusaders, and quarterback Dylan Hare, the Blair Oaks Falcons. I want to get your thoughts. What did you think was the greatest game of the year that you saw as far as Helias was concerned, because you cover them?
Think about it. If it had been a normal year, a Jays-Helias game, one that we'd never seen before, that would have been outstanding. You know, that would have been just a highlight of any year. But to me, the game of the year for Helias is obviously the semifinal at Smithville, right, where, you know, they come back in the last couple minutes and win 13-10. And at that point, you kind of thought, well, this is just destiny. You know, they are going to go down and win the next week, and they did, and win a state title.
And Defensive Player of the Year was also from Helias, and that was Ethan Holzhauser, the linebacker for the Crusaders.
Yeah, that team was talented, very talented on both sides of the ball. You know, Jake Weaver, led that drive up at Smithville to win the game with Alex Clement. You know, both seniors, both kids have said they weren't going to lose that game. You know, and the defense holds a talented Smithville team to 10 points, and then comes back the next week and gets the stop on the first drive of the game, and who knew that was going to be the one that was going to win them a state championship.
Now, you talked about, and I agree with you, I think that the game of the year for Helias was the Smithville game in the state semifinals, but you take a look at it from the perspective of the Blair Oaks Falcons, and I don't know if there was just one game. I think when you take a look at the last two games that they had before they went to the state championship game against Maryville, when they played Lutheran North and Cardinal Ritter out of St. Louis, I think those were two outstanding football games for them.
Yeah, you know, the Lutheran North game, they're behind at halftime and then just come out and blow their doors off in the second half. And then to go up to Cardinal Ritter and win the way they did, you know, you and I had covered a Helias game up there a couple of years ago. You know, we know what that atmosphere up there is like, and they just went up there and won the game and then came back and really dominated that Class 3 state title game.
You know, as we talked about it before the break, at Lincoln University, no track and field season due to the pandemic, and no football this fall for the Blue Tigers.
Yeah, I think they made the wise decision and kind of just, hey, we're just going to shut it down for the fall. We'll see what's going to happen in the spring and stuff. And I think that was a smart move for them. You know, and you know, the basketball teams are up and running. You know, the men's team's having a great year. The women are still trying to find their footing. But I think, you know, we're going to, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. One of the fun things to watch in the next couple of months is see what do the Lincoln men do, you know, get a spot in the MIAA tournament, maybe get past that. Who knows?
Coach Mosley's got a nice basketball program, the Blue Tigers, doesn't he?
Well, he does. I think that they're kind of, you know, they're quietly building up a quality that where you can count on, you're going to see a good product out there every time you go to watch.
And you know, we talked about new basketball coaches. Of course, there's a new basketball coach at Lincoln for the Lady Blue Tigers.
Yeah, you know, that's a program that, like I said, is trying to find its footing, trying to find the right person, you know, get the right combination together and get something going, and it's just going to take some time.
All right, about a minute left to go in the program. What was your number one story as far as the 2020 sports season is concerned here locally?
And again, I think looking long-term, I think it was really the start of the Central Missouri Activities Conference. You know, you've got now to where we're going to see Jay's Helias play football every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a chance, you know, and it helps them with scheduling. You know, it helps the three local high schools with scheduling. You know, they've got it locked in 6 games every year, you know, they're not going to have to travel to all the time to St. Louis or Kansas City or Springfield or wherever to find football games. And it's another chance for those kids, you know, to maybe, you know, play for a conference title that can kind of spur these games along a little more, more than they were.
You know, I had the conference on my list here, but I thought maybe you would bring it up, so that's why I didn't. Thank you.
Sure. Simpatico.
Thanks for being on the show, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Right. Appreciate it.
Jefferson City News Tribune sports editor Tom Rackers on the KWOS Coaches Show. Quickly, Friday night, we will have Jays basketball 6:45 with our pregame as they'll take on Waynesville. See you next week.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.